It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As expected, the House of Representatives voted Thursday to hold longtime Trump ally and aide to the former guy, Steve Bannon, in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena from the committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol. 9 Republicans joined all of the Democrats for a final 229-202 vote. The referral goes to the Justice Department, where Attorney General Merrick Garland decides what happens next. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday questioned the Attorney General for the very first time since he took this position. Republicans grilled him on the Bannon vote and his plans to communicate with the FBI about parents' threats against school officials. Democrats pressed Garland on civil rights matters, including police misconduct and violence in prisons. But it was Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee who asked the question. He pointed out that Michael Cohen, the former guy's former fixer and attorney, was convicted for merely doing what Trump, as individual one, ordered him to do, then basically asked why the former guy hadn't yet been indicted. When Garland replied that in order to protect everyone involved, the DOJ doesn't comment on the status of investigations unless there's a public charge, Cohen replied,
I will accept that, but I hope that you will look at it because I believe that he is equally, if not more, guilty, and it does seem that people get favored treatment if he's not prosecuted.
President Joe Biden answered questions Thursday night at a CNN town hall when asked if a deal on the big two-part Build Back Better plan is going to happen. The president was cautiously optimistic.
Are you close to a done deal?
No problems. All done. No, look, Anderson, we've been, I've probably spent well over 100 hours. This is a big deal.
Bottom line, do you think you will get a deal?
I do think I'll get a deal.
Punchbowl News reporting Friday morning that the White House has been pressing the Democratic leadership to move toward a House vote next week on both the reconciliation package and the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill. Will they get there? It sounds like they're still pretty far apart. And by they, I mean Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema versus the rest of the Democratic Party.
She's very supportive of the environmental agenda in my legislation. Very supportive. She's supportive of almost all the things I mentioned relating to everything from a family care to all those issues. Where she's not supportive, she says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people, period. And so that's where it sort of breaks down. There's a few other issues it breaks down on. But what we're trying to do is reach a point here where I'm able to present to the Senate, they're able to vote on, and the House, a serious, serious piece of legislation that changes the dynamic for working class folks in America and middle-class folks, and begins to have the very wealthy and corporate members just begin to pay their fair share. Yeah. Not a lot. How we get there, we're down to 4 or 5 issues, which I'm not going to negotiate on national television, as you might guess.
We'd be interested in hearing them if you want.
No, I know. But all kidding aside, I think we can get there.
Although Manchin and Sinema are opposed to different parts of the bill, she did join him in opposing expanding Medicare to cover vision, hearing, and dental. Though Biden did say she likes the idea of helping to lower the cost of hearing aids, so we got that going for us. The president spoke plainly and clearly, laying out the facts with little to no self-aggrandizement, admitting some of the disappointments and changes that had to be made in the face of the Manchinima opposition. Tuition-free community college is out. Biden said the paid leave provision has been trimmed from 12 weeks to 4, although this is something we know House Democrats are working very hard to restore. One place where the president appears to have evolved in his position is regarding the filibuster.
I also think we're going to have to move to the point where we fundamentally alter the filibuster.
Are you saying once you get this current agenda passed on spending and social programs that you would be open to fundamentally altering the filibuster or doing away with it?
Well, that remains to be seen, exactly what that means in terms of fundamentally altering it, whether or not we just end the filibuster straight up.
Voting rights is equally as consequential.
When it comes to voting rights, just so I'm clear, though, you would entertain the notion of doing away with the filibuster on that one issue? Is that correct?
And maybe more.
Stay tuned. In COVID news, the CDC on Thursday backed the Food and Drug Administration in authorizing COVID-19 booster shots for millions of Americans who received the Moderna or Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And they're also now allowing mixing and matching those extra doses. Regardless of what type you first received, you can supplement your protection by getting a booster shot from a different manufacturer. Meanwhile, in opposite world, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Thursday escalated his fight against the White House and common sense over COVID-19 restrictions. This time, he's calling for a special legislative session so that the state's Republican-led legislature can block President Biden's vaccine mandates. But if COVID doesn't kill us, the climate probably will. In a new climate report released just this week, researchers with the medical journal The Lancet warned that the warming climate, quote, will affect every U.S. region, and said that there is, quote, no safe global temperature rise from a health perspective. The report also noted decades of racially biased policies place Blacks, Latinos, Asians, and Native people, as well as low-income communities, at disproportionately high risk amid the climate crisis. Tragic news from a movie set in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where the actor Alec Baldwin was filming a new movie, Rust. Baldwin fired a prop gun that was supposed to be loaded with blanks. Somehow, that shot killed Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer of the film. Director Joel Souza was also injured. No charges were filed immediately, and authorities are investigating. Sadly, similar tragedies have happened before. In 1993, Brandon Lee, the 28-year-old son of the late martial arts star Bruce Lee, died after being hit by a .44-caliber slug while filming a death scene for the movie The Crow. That gun was supposed to have fired a blank, but an autopsy turned up a bullet lodged near his spine. And in 1984, actor John Eric Hexum died after shooting himself in the head with a prop gun blank while pretending to play Russian roulette with a .44 Magnum on the set of the TV series Cover Up. Just horrible. Finally, in our last What's News report, I told you about the former guy's planned media group with a social media platform to be called, ironically, Truth Social. Well, today we learned that one of the big investors in the new company was not aware of Trump's involvement. Now, Financial Times is reporting that upon learning what Truth Social would be, this investor pulled out immediately, allegedly saying, quote, "The idea that I would help Trump build out a fake news business called Truth makes me want to throw up." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.